certainly do appreciate that prayer and all of your prayers. And I hope when one is called upon to pray here, I hope that the rest of us are praying with them. We're here to worship together. And so we pray the Lord will be merciful to us and help us this day. I want to start with a verse of scripture you'll find in Matthew chapter 5. You remember that's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and those first few verses speak of what we commonly refer to as the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. How we're to be. What we are in the Lord. And so as we think about I don't want to get caught up in all of them, so I'm just going to read one. You'll find it in verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Very familiar verse of scripture, right? What does it mean? Think about it. What's it mean? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. These Beatitudes, they speak of a condition, a state of being. It's not that if you will hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll become a child of God. It's saying that those who do hunger and thirst for righteousness are children of God. There's evidence already of their being a child of God. Right? Okay. Now, I want to lay a foundation, and I know that you're firmly established in this, but for the sake of appreciating the practical side of this, let's get some doctrine for just a moment. Blessed are they, which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, after righteousness. Go with me to Titus chapter 3. I know this is fundamental for Primitive Baptists, but do you know what? We're living in a day where those who are established in the truth that we, it seems like at least, and given evidence that they were, are turning away to other things. Why? I don't know. And so every time that happens, it shakes us, doesn't it? Why? Do I really believe the truth? Now, I'm not saying that we doubt ourselves every time, but those questions rise. Why would they do that? And so we need to keep coming back to the foundation. What we believe, trying the scriptures, understanding what the Lord taught us. So in Titus chapter 3, let's just get some doctrine. And by the way, as we read these verses, I'm going to read several verses. And as we read them, I want you to look for your involvement in this and look for what God does. All right? Interesting time. Verse 3. Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Well, I think we can find ourselves in that, can't we? But it does say we ourselves were sometime. In other words, at one time. Hopefully, the past time, That was our experience that we came through. But then he says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, there came a time when old things were passed away. Behold, all things become new, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. He's a new creature then, okay? Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Is that plain enough? But according to his mercy, he saved us. Are you in that? As a happy recipient, okay, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Something God did, something the Holy Spirit does. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Did you do that? You were the happy recipient of it, but you didn't do it. All right? Which he shed on us, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Where are you in that? You are the happy recipient of it, right? You're rejoicing in it. I hope you're keeping it in memory, because that is our salvation. That is what God did for us. But the majority of Christianity has a different message, don't they? And I'm not trying to stand here and say, rah, rah, yay for us. We want to know the truth of Scripture. We want to stand where God stands. We want to honor what God honors. And we're not going to take man's systems and say, well, that's okay. We can live that way if we want to. No. We want to stand on God's truth. All right? So when we think about what he says, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Then he goes on down saying, that being justified by his grace. Do you understand then why Paul would say to the Galatian brethren who had a wrong understanding of grace, why he would say, I do not frustrate the grace of God. When you bring in man's ideas about how a person is saved, you're frustrating grace. Grace is that God loved the people before the foundation of the world. He sent his Son to this world to save us from our sins. Jesus rose again to show our justification. Someday he's coming back to gather up all for whom he died and take us home to be with him forever. Amen. We're the happy recipients of salvation. But now those exhortations in Scripture that speaks about saving yourselves and those kinds of exhortations, they're not something that you can do to save yourself eternally, but save yourself from being delivered from whatever the situation is that you're in at that present time or the situation you're facing at that time. There is a salvation here in time for God's people to take heed to the gospel and save themselves from sorrow and heartache and trouble in this life. But it's for God's people who are saved by the grace of God. Amen. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If it's up to you to make salvation effective, then Christ is dead in vain. So it is that we honor and adore him for all that he's done for us, because we wouldn't have done it ourselves. We couldn't have done it ourselves. We didn't have any interest in doing it ourselves by nature. Now, on that foundation, come back to our text. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is not just saying, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness. I shudder to think how many times I may have misquoted that verse of Scripture. It's more than just thirsting for it. It's the same in the sense that those who thirst after it and those who thirst for it, they're doing the same thing, but there's more to it in thirsting after righteousness. And it's not a matter of time either. It's not those that, all right? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. These have an appetite for righteousness. These are seeking it daily. Righteousness. There's a daily seeking. There's a desire for it. There's a hunger for it. And there's a desire for righteousness. You know that spirit within us? That perfectly righteous spirit within us that God gives us? It's longing for perfection. It's desiring that time when we'll be clothed upon with immortality and with that house that God built without hands. It's longing for that. But until then, we thirst for it. Because of His Spirit within us. We thirst for it. We hunger for righteousness. Right? That's what God's people need to be doing. All right? And the promise of that verse is that we could be, might be, if you're in the right place at the right time, they shall be filled. Not just get a crumb. Not just a little bit. There's a filling to be received. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Somebody might be saying, "Preacher, that sounds good, but I don't hunger. I'm not very hungry for it." Do you know a child of God can get that way? It's not good, but they can. How can we stimulate the spiritual appetite if we find ourselves in one of those dry seats, if we find ourselves in one of those times where we don't feel, you can't trust feelings. We have to live according to the Word of God and the leadership of His Spirit and what the Spirit tells us to do and not operate on feelings. Sometimes we don't feel like doing something. But if it's something that's right to do, it's always right to do it. Right? So we have to be careful not to give in to feelings, but to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, how do you stimulate that appetite for spiritual things? Well, let's see. Jesus said in John 13:17, remember that chapter on feet washing? Okay. John 13:17, Jesus said, if you know these things, and that's where I wanted to start. We know a lot, don't we? But we also know in our studies from James on Wednesday night that we're exhorted in Scripture not to be hearers only, but doers of the Word. And coming back to John 13:17, Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Do you know there's something special about when we do what we know is right? It rejoices the Spirit within us. Because that Spirit knows what's right. And it witnesses to our spirit when we do what's right. And there's a joy there. We need that. We need to feed that on a regular basis to have more of the joy of the Holy Spirit. Because it puts wind in our sails. It strengthens us. It helps us. Because there's plenty of things that we have to fight against in this world. And we don't want to be find ourselves fighting against the Spirit of God. Oh, that when you do something that doesn't please the Lord and that Spirit condemns us, that's a sick feeling, isn't it? Now, if you keep going, that sick feeling gets a little lighter because the heart gets a little harder. You start ignoring it, and you can start losing your joys. Now, what happened with David when he turned away from the Lord and committed that awful sin with Bathsheba? We find him sometime later begging God to restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. But David knew what it was like to be in fellowship with God. David knew what it was like to feel the joy within his heart of doing what's right and following God and enjoying fellowship and communion with God. And he didn't have it because he had turned away from God. He had rejected the commands of God. And the child of grace can do that. We don't want to do that, do we? All right, so we find that Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Then in John 14, 15, and we were in John 13, but go to John 14, and Jesus said, if you love me, isn't that a simple statement? I mean, I don't think there's anybody here that can't understand that statement. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, that's a simple statement, isn't it? Do you know that every time we follow the leadership of the Spirit and keep His Word, it rejoices that heart? It rejoices the Spirit within us. It causes us to feel better. It gives us a more of a happy countenance. All right, so He gave us the prescription. Isn't it amazing that He would give us such a simple statement and yet it be simply so broad? Kind of like Brother Sonny Powell used to say that the Word of God is profoundly simple but simply profound. Now, I understand there's some of it I'm still trying to figure out. Okay, and somebody might say, well, that's not simple. Yeah, but there's so much that He told us that is so simple, we just overlook it. And we overlook the blessing of it. And if we don't take it for the value that it has, we're going to miss the blessing of it. If ye love me, how do we love Him? Because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Okay, right? Right? If we have a love for God, it's because He gave it to us. He showered His love upon us first and quickened us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. And He gave us the desire to look to Him and to follow Him. If you love me, that's who He's talking to, keep my commandments. Well, that's simple, isn't it? But what a blessing to be received. In starting to pray and ask the Lord to show me what I need to do, and as we keep His commandments. And I know I'm talking to a people that keep His commandments as best we can. But do you think we could all improve a little bit? Is there something that perhaps we've left off? Is there something that we could do a little better? Is there part of His Word that we've ignored? We need to be praying, search me, try me, know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. David prayed that, didn't he? We need to be praying that on a regular basis. All right? So that was something for John 13, something from John 14. Think there's something in John 15 for us? John 15, 14, just flip them around. Instead of 14, 15, let's go to 15, 14. He says, ye are my friends. Are we His friends? I hope so. He's my friend. But sometimes I'm afraid I might not be His friend. You know what I mean? We come short. Maybe something comes out of our mouth that we regret or do something or leave something off or whatever. We're so prone to do things. And I know he's my friend. He's shown me his love so many times. He's shown me his mercy so many times. He's blessed me in so many ways. He has just showered his grace upon me. But there's times when I come short. There's times when I leave something off. There's times when I forget things. And I have to beg God would forgive me. Because I want to feel that closeness and that fellowship with him every day. He said, "Ye are my friends if..." What? You mean friendship with the Lord is conditional? I thought we had eternal security in the blood of Christ. We do. We do. Relationship is in the Lord and what he did for us. But fellowship has a lot to do with how we respond to him. And we're talking about folks that love him. "You're my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Oh. Wow. You're my friends? You mean he... Well, what he's saying is we show that we're a friend of God by doing his commandments. We show that we love God by doing his commandments. Are you seeing a pattern? I hope so. All right? And this is nothing new, is it? Isaiah. Go all the way back to Isaiah 1 and 19. If you be willing, how are you going to be willing? Well, it starts with a new birth, doesn't it? And he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But as we do his will and as we serve him, it strengthens that desire. All right, back in Isaiah 1:19. If ye be willing and obedient. Oh, there's another word we haven't talked about yet. Obedient. Well, we've talked about it, but we didn't use the word. Obedient. Well, we're Primitive Baptists. We don't preach works, do we? We should. We should. He hath before ordained that we should walk in good works. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Anybody that thinks that Primitive Baptists don't believe in good works, then they have a wrong understanding of grace. Yes, we believe in good works. For fellowship with God, to honor God, to serve him faithfully. And if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. I know that was spoken to Israel, but it applies to New Testament Israel just as much. And that's who we are. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. How about Micah? Micah 6 and 8. I love that passage, don't you? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. In three simple statements, he outlines discipleship. Isn't that great? To do justly. Do, boy. Isn't it amazing that that's the first thing that he says? Amazing, isn't it? Must be a pattern still going on here. To do justly. To love mercy. Don't you love mercy? How many times has God shown mercy to you? You can't count that high, I know. And you can't remember all those times either. But it's wonderful every time, isn't it? Well, do you think you're going to need any more mercy? You might even be in a place where you feel like you've used it all up. I got some confession to make. Sometimes I have to pray, God, is your mercy long-suffering enough for me? And then he shows me. It is. Now I may have to pray that again sometime. But he shows me. When I ask him in that way, with a humble heart, realizing my imperfections, realizing my shortcomings, realizing my mistakes, and confessing unto him, and he's so merciful. After that, the love and kindness of our God appeared. Oh, as he shows himself faithful to us, how we need to get up and brush ourselves off and go again in faithful service to the Lord. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. As we've mentioned so many times here in recent weeks, where the Lord told Abraham, walk thou before me, and be thou, walk before me and be thou perfect. As we grow in grace, as we grow into more spiritually mature disciple of the Lord, we walk before the Lord, we keep him ever before us. We keep him, his commandments in our mind and in our forefront of our mind, like frontlets before our eyes. We keep those things where we're mindful of them so that we're walking before him, not turning our backs and trying to get away from him like Jonah did. All right? So, love mercy, or do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. Turn to Psalm 19. There's three verses here, I think, that I want. Psalm 19. What are we talking about? We're talking about stimulating that appetite for righteousness. We're talking about God's people and how we can stimulate that appetite for spiritual things. All right. Psalm 19. He says in verse 9, the fear of the Lord. Now, to the unregenerate, there is no fear of God. It comes from having the Spirit of God in us. And the fear of the Lord we're talking about is an awesome respect for his word, to such an extent that it controls or it influences our behavior. That's when we walk in the fear of the Lord. All right? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Now, here's a good spiritual barometer. Check your desires. Compare your desire for gold against the desire for these righteous principles that the Word of God speaks of. Check your heart. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Oh, it's the Word of God, the commandments and the judgments and the statutes. Are they sweet to your soul? Check that spiritual barometer. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Now, here's the instruction from God's word. By them is thy servant warned. And if we heed the instruction, then we receive a blessing, right? If we ignore the instruction, we're going to have trouble. By them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. In keeping of them, there is great reward. Then in Matthew, coming to the New Testament, Matthew 7, verse 24, Jesus is concluding that Sermon on the Mount. after he's taught principles of true righteousness and true worship and true judgment. After he's taught those things, that he that heareth these sayings of mine and what? And doeth them. Oh, there it is again. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he said, I'll liken him unto a wise man. He built his house on a rock. And it withstood, I'm going to have to paraphrase, and it withstood the storms, the wind, and the rain as it beat upon it, as the floods came, as trouble came to that person's life. It was able to stand and withstand because it was built on a rock. That rock being hearing these sayings of mine and doing them. All right? So when you follow that teaching, when you follow God's commands, when you're hearing the word and doing the word, there will be more joy in your life and you will stimulate a spiritual appetite. More than you had. Okay? You know the opposite is true. I used to think that, well, if folks stayed away from church, they'd get hungrier and hungrier, but I learned. You start staying away and staying and ignoring the word, whether you're in church or not. If you're ignoring the word, you lose your spiritual appetite. Oh, how we need to guard our heart and our mind and keep it fed. If you feed your heart and mind with the things of this world, that's where your heart's going to be. We need the word of God. We need the blessing of His Spirit leading us and guiding us and opening His Word to us. We need that. And so we need to be feeding our spirit, our soul, on the Word of God to stimulate that spiritual appetite. Faith is much like a muscle. You know what happens when you exercise, right? Your muscles get stronger, don't they? Generally. Maybe Brother Bruce can correct me on this. But that's the general principle, you know. I realize that you get to a point where, you know, you can't build up and things like that. But generally, what I'm talking about is exercising our faith strengthens it. We need that, don't we? We need that. If we're weak in the faith, we need to examine ourselves. We need to see, are we feeding our soul? Are we exercising our faith and doing the things that God has taught us to do? Doing the things that we know. You know, it's a wonderful blessing for mom and daddy to teach their children. It's a commandment of Scripture. That's our responsibility as parents, to teach our children. And I'm thankful for the many that have done that. But you can't coast all your life on just what you've been taught growing up. You got to keep reinforcing it by reading the Word. You got to keep exercising faith. You got to keep trusting God and seeing His faithfulness being shown to you. Right. Not just hearing about it from mom and daddy or whoever it was that was a good influence in our life. So faith needs to be exercised so it can be strengthened. And as you're doing that, there will be more joy. There will be more blessings. We'll be walking in more fellowship with God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's not just a matter of hungering and thirsting for it. It's going after it. It's living according to it each day. You know, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, and we've defined that 1,000 times probably. But if any man will come after me, he's saying if any man will be like me. That means he's thinking the way Christ does. He's doing what Christ does. He's acting according to the will of God. So to come after, to follow after righteousness. And we're going to give you some verses here. Time's getting away. But he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's more than just hungering for it. It's more than just receiving. It's receiving and doing. That's what grace is all about, isn't it? Strong's defines grace as divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So when we respond to what God's put within our heart, then we're letting a light shine. Then we're showing our love. Then we're growing in grace and we're exercising our faith and we're bearing fruit of the Spirit and we're a blessing to those around us. That's what we need to be as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to do it now, don't we? Right now. We need to be doing it now. God has blessed this message today, so let's lay it to heart and let's do it now. Now, if you're already doing it, wonderful. If you're not doing it enough, do more. Okay? That's what we need to be doing. You know, if you're late in years and you've treasured up a lot of these and you don't think that you need to be doing that, I'm afraid you still need these truths on a regular basis, if nothing else, for encouragement about what you do believe. If you're a young person starting out in life, you need to treasure these things up so that you can avoid a lot of the heartaches and the troubles that can come by not following the leadership of the Spirit and doing the things that are pleasing to God. If you're a young family trying to start out a family and start, you need to establish these principles. You need to develop these habits now, because good luck after those children come in starting some new habits of studying the Word of God. You got all kinds of exciting things going to be added to your schedule. And as we continue to grow, we can't leave it off. We need to keep it up on a regular basis. Doing those things daily, enjoying the fellowship of the Lord daily. That's what hungering and thirsting after righteousness is all about. Not just receiving. I hope we come here to worship, but we depart to serve. And we have much more opportunity to serve the Lord by serving others when we leave this place than we do while we're here. Now, in the Scriptures, several times, and I don't know that I got them all, but several places where it talks about following after righteousness. Following after these things. And that's what we've been talking about. It's just a different word, but it's the same concept. But I wanted to notice several of them so that you can see the blessing and the benefit by the way they're presented. All right, so Proverbs 15 and 9. Proverbs 15 and 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. No surprise there, is it? The way of the wicked is abomination unto the Lord. But he loveth, that is, the Lord loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Well, preacher, I know that. God loves those that follow. They won't love him. They won't follow righteousness unless they love him. Yeah, but wait a minute. What he's talking about here is he loveth. In other words, he's showing his love. He's manifesting his blessings. He's adding to those blessings. They're growing in that because God is showing his love to those that follow after righteousness. Isn't it a wonderful blessing to experience something in your life and you find out that, oh, God was watching over me. God was preparing. Before I realized the need, he was already at work preparing what I needed. You've experienced some of those? Oh, isn't that wonderful? It shows you God loves you. What a blessing. I tell you, that helps your day, doesn't it? To get those sweet tokens from the Lord that he's with you, that he loves you, that he's providing for you. He's looking out after you. All of those things are showing his love. God does love his people, right? Oh, beyond what we can imagine. But it's a wonderful blessing to just think about all the ways that God has shown his love to us. He loveth those that follow after righteousness. Isaiah 51:1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Hey, he's talking to God's people, isn't he? Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Huh? What's he saying? Well, he goes on in the next verse, and he speaks of Abraham and Sarah. What do you say? Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. A hole? A rock? Think about Abraham and Sarah for just a moment. God made some promises to them, didn't he? Wonderful promises. Tremendous promises. But he didn't fulfill that promise for a long time, did he? And when it was time for him to do it, guess what? The promise was that they would have a child. And from that child would spring forth a nation that would be like the stars of the heaven and the sands upon the seashore. Wow. Tremendous blessing. Tremendous promise. But when God waited, and when it was time for him to answer that promise or unfold, it's too late. Wasn't it? I mean, Abraham and Sarah, neither one of them had the ability to have a child. God waited too late. Thank you. It was too late for Abraham and Sarah to do anything about it, wasn't it? That's my point. But with God, is anything too hard for the Lord? They had the child right when God was pleased for them to have it. All right? That rock that he was spoken of, that whole inanimate object, no life. And as far as having children, that's the way Abraham and Sarah was, even though God had made the promise they would have a child. But he waited until it was evident that it was his power and it was his work that brought it to pass. Just like salvation. If you have spiritual life, it's because God gave it to you. You didn't ask for it. You didn't have a mind to think about it or look for it. He gave it to you by his grace. You know, you need to remember that. Ye that follow after righteousness, remember your spiritual life is because God had mercy upon you and gave you grace. The grace and gift of his Son to save you from your sins. We need to remember that every day we live. That's a good thing to remember, isn't it? Because that's what makes all the difference in the world. No matter what happens to us in this life, no matter how hard life might be, no matter how wonderful life might be, nothing can change what God does for you through his grace in sending his Son to this world to save us from our sins. And if life has to be hard, someday it'll be over. Heaven will be our home. And all the troubles of this world be over. That puts wind in your sails every day. And every time you go through a difficult time and you get through it and you look back and you see how God has been showing you, how he's been caring for you, how he's been blessing you, how he's been providing for you, how he has been showing you his love. And it's a time to rejoice. It's a time to thank him. It's a time to renew your dedication to serving him better than we have in the past. Come to the New Testament. 1 Timothy 6 and 5. Or 1 Timothy 6. Several verses there, beginning in verse 5, but for several verses there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul's been talking about some ungodly things that we should withdraw ourselves from. We're not to have fellowship with those things. Part of what he's talking about is those that think gain is godliness. He says, from such withdraw thyself. All right? But then he goes on to say, but thou, O man of God, 1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, those ungodly things. Flee that. Elsewhere, Paul talks about fleeing youthful lusts. Young people, and sad to say, some older folks still have playful hearts and want to entangle themselves with the things of this world. We're to flee. If he has blessed us to know him, if he's blessed us to know his love, he's blessed us to know his grace, the forgiveness that we have through Jesus Christ, and bless your hearts, we need to turn away from those things. We need to flee those things. Leave them behind. God's not going to bless those things. You're not going to be blessed in doing those things. Flee those things. Flee. But man of God, he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after what? Now, he gives a whole list here, but they're all righteousness. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Boy, there's a lot of fruit of the Spirit there, isn't it? There's a life. If you're following after these things, you're going to be growing in those things. You're going to be producing fruit according to those things. You're going to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. That's what we want, because that is what honors the Lord. That's what's pleasing to him. All right? So he says, follow after, flee those things of this world, the ungodly things. And he says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Look at the tenor of those words and how it just speaks peace to your spirit, and how it causes us to realize who God is and what he is, and how we're to be like him. Follow after righteousness. So coming back to our first verse, Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I hope you've gotten the point by now. Following after righteousness. For they shall, as they're following after, as they're seeking the Lord, as their spiritual appetite is being fed. You know, I didn't say it, but back when we were talking about exercise, you know, doesn't that help your appetite a lot of times? You know, especially a good hard day's work, you get hungry, don't you? You know, and you probably noticed that on those days, now some folks are just blessed with a good appetite. But, you know, there's sometimes when you haven't done very much and you're not hungry. Can we extend that principle to spiritual things? When we've not done much in the way of spiritual following after, we're just not very hungry, are we, for the things of the Spirit? Oh, we need to exercise our faith. We need to be strengthened in godliness, bearing the fruit. That desire, that spiritual appetite, it's never fully satisfied. And aren't you glad? Because that spirit within us, excuse me, that spirit within us, like we said earlier, it's perfect. It's desiring perfection. It's desiring to be more like the Lord. Now, it's perfect. We're very imperfect. But that spirit causes us to long for this righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. David said in Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. And that's a full satisfaction. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. You see the mark? You see the goal? To be like him. This spirit within us desires to be like him. And the more we feed that desire, the more we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the more blessed we'll be, the happier we'll be. I'm not saying you're not going to have any problems. Life is full of problems, isn't it? It's a land of hills and valleys, like the Lord told the children of Israel about the land of Canaan. It's not like you watered in Egypt, but it's a land of hills and valleys. Life is like that. God is the same. The more we've got our eye upon him and his perfection, and the more we're striving, following after righteousness to be more like him, there will be more sweetness. There will be more joy. There'll be more happiness. There'll be more satisfaction in life. I'm not saying you're not going to have problems. In the world, you shall have tribulation, right? But there'll be more joy and sweetness to go along with it that will help you, and a well-fed soul will be better able to handle the afflictions that come in life. We continue to look to him. We don't have to wait until that time when we awake in his likeness. If he's raised us from a death in sins to a life in Christ, he's given us faith. He's given us his word. He's given us what we need to follow on after him and to be more like him. And anybody who's desiring to know more about him, he will be blessed. That's the promise from God's word in Hebrews 11:6. He's a rewarder then that diligently seek him. And there'll be more joy and there'll be more sweetness to go along to help us, to encourage us, and to build us up to face the problems that we'll have in life. But we don't have to wait to absolute perfection. Another one of those passages is Proverbs 21:21. That's easy to remember, isn't it? 21:21. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. He findeth it. Not just knowing it, but experiencing it. He findeth it. He lays hold on it. He enjoys it. He experiences it. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Wouldn't that be a good life? To add more life to your life? Does that sound strange? Well, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We could all have a little life added to our life, couldn't we? Get a life. Have a better life. The Lord tells us how we can follow after righteousness and enjoy more of the blessings that are here for our lives. You know, the message of Jesus is simple, isn't it? Follow me. How many times? I've never searched it out, but it might be an interesting study to find out how many times Jesus said, follow me. If it's 20, if it's 30, if it's 100, it doesn't matter. The command is to us today. So that command is to every one of God's children. Follow me. If you're following him, you're following after righteousness. And all of these verses that we quoted here and all the blessings and the benefits to be derived from following after righteousness will be yours to enjoy. Let's get started today. If you already started, let's do a better job of it today, tomorrow, the next day. Because there are blessings upon blessings that God's people are missing because our mind and our schedules are too full of the things of this world. And we're not taking time for God. We're not blocking out some time to read His Word. We're not blocking out some time for sufficient prayers. We're not blocking out time. I know our schedules get busy. I know that. And many of you have far busier schedules than I. But I'll tell you, He'll honor if we'll take some time to think about Him and His goodness and mercy. Whatever time of day you can find it, if we'll take some time, He will bless it. Your appetite will grow. The saddest thing, one of the saddest things I can think of, is someone who claims to be a Christian yet has no spiritual appetite. That happens. God's people can be so full of the things of the world that they forget and neglect the things of God. Do you think that has anything to do with the condition this nation is in? How could that change? It's got to start with me. It's got to start with each one of us. Jesus never called His disciples to overthrow Rome. He said, "Follow me." If His people were following Him the way they should, do you know what He promised Israel? If you've read in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy especially, here lately, if they would observe to do what He commanded them to do, He would go before them and fight their battles for them. He would bless them in so many ways. He would bless their families. He would bless their cities. He would bless their fields. He would protect them from their enemies. He would put dread in the minds and the hearts of their enemies so that they would flee before them. That's what God promised to do for His people. You think He's finished doing that? No, those who fear Him and walk before Him, desiring to follow after righteousness today, can be blessed in the same ways. Does that mean we'll have a total overthrow of this nation and everybody will be worshiping the Lord? I don't know if we'll ever see that. We've kind of run out of places to go, haven't we? You know, the church was started over where it was and moved to Europe and then across the Atlantic to here. And where else can we go? Where else can the church go? You know, I know that the church is still in some of those places, but as far as it flourishing, as far as it growing, it's wherever God's people are desiring to know more about His Word and following after righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. A wonderful promise. May God help us to lay hold upon it and enjoy it in this life. May God bless you is our prayer.